This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Gas is cheap, but what about the cost of putting a roof over your head? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Some think the rent's too wretchedly high in many cities across America. Rents are going up in places like, but not limited to, San Francisco, Denver, and Nashville, with no end in sight. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer explains why.
Average rent in San Francisco, more than $3,000 a month. In New York, you're paying about $2,300. According to the real estate tracking firm Zillow, rents are up almost 4% nationwide.
More and more Americans are renting now than they did before the Great Recession.
That's Zillow senior economist Skylar Olson. She says there just isn't enough rental housing to go around. She says the renters are former homeowners who were foreclosed upon or newly employed millennials.
They're able to, you know, imagine a world where they move out from their parents' basements. And when they do that, they turn to the rental market.
They can't afford to buy a house because even though they have a job, wages are stagnant. Anthony Sanders teaches real estate finance at George Mason University.
Brad Pitt's making millions of dollars, but the average person in Keokuk, Iowa, is not making a lot of money in terms of wage growth.
And Sanders says even if they do have a nest egg, they're too nervous to buy in the wake of the housing crisis. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Listening along with us to Nancy's piece there is Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So, I mean, as they mentioned, one cure for high rents is to buy a house, but that does have its challenges here in April of 2015.
It certainly does. Supply is the problem. Many people haven't seen prices go up enough to list their homes, clear the closing costs, or they're afraid that they can't qualify for a mortgage to trade up. All of that has left us with very short supply, and much like the rental market, we're seeing housing prices accelerate again with multiple bidders. First-time home buyers sort of being left out in the cold. In fact, several couples that I actually know right now that are looking for a home, they're getting out of their apartments, have everything saved up with a new baby in tow. And in fact, they've been unable to find that first-time home here in the Chicago area and multiple bids on every home they've looked at.
Home builders presumably know this, and to build a new home in America requires heavy equipment, which is often purchased from Caterpillar, which had its quarterly profits report today.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Caterpillar surprised on the upside because they said, listen, the domestic market across the board, everything from highway construction, commercial construction, things are picking up. What we worry about is that construction activity going to burst or are we really priming the pump for 2015 more? I think we're going to get more supply out there this year, but not enough to meet demand. So you're still going to have higher prices before this whole scale tips in favor of buying.
All right. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on now to news about how corruption created a black hole that sucked away profits at a big oil company. Petrobras, the government-run oil company in Brazil, today posted the worst quarterly loss in its history. This is the consequence of adjusting its books to account for bribery, political kickbacks, and other dastardly deeds by executives at the company. Nearly $17 billion in value have been wiped off the books. The BBC's South America business correspondent Daniel Gallus joins us from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Give me a sense of what Petrobras was doing that led to the need to change the accounting in such a dramatic way.
This whole corruption scandal, the investigations are about a period from 2004 to 2012, so that's a fairly long period, almost a decade. Petrobras is run by the Brazilian government, and its top executives are appointed by political parties in the government coalition. So what the authorities here learned is that many of these executives who were in charge of billion-dollar contracts, they were actually taking 3% of each big contract for themselves, for their parties. So a scandal like this is big in numbers. It's going high up in the political chain, and this is pretty much what's happening here.
So they try to sort out the accounting now, but moving forward, Petrobras is going to have to come up with a strategy to make more money.
Yes. The interesting thing about Petrobras right now is that it struck gold. It hit the jackpot. It found a lot of oil down beneath its surface, but it needs a lot of cash to drill that oil out. So the company had been doing this huge financial project, trying just to come up with money to drill that oil. So this is a big blow for a company that was supposed to be taking off right now.
Daniel Gallus is the BBC's South America business correspondent. He's speaking to us from Sao Paulo. Mr. Gallus, thank you for this.
Thank you very much.
And this number today, $2.5 billion, that is the settlement to be paid by Wall Street giant Deutsche Bank for its role in colluding to manipulate one of the most important interest rates in the world, the LIBOR rate, determined in London. Eight other banks have already settled. LIBOR is linked to many adjustable home mortgages, credit card rates, and much more. One estimate finds the buying power of Latino consumers in America is three times what it was in the year 2000, something on the order of $1.5 trillion. Big retailers are trying to keep on top of this. Target says Hispanic 20 and 30-somethings, millennials, are now its core demographic. Northwest Public Radio's Rowan Moore Garrity starts his report with an ad campaign that illustrates this.
Porque ya es la hora de dormir.
There will always be a part of you that simply doesn't translate.
That's the slogan Target's using in a social media campaign with the hashtag sin traducción, or untranslatable. Spokesperson Luz Varela says it hinges on words like arrullo. It means lullaby, sure.
But it's also used to describe the setting and the ambiance for putting your baby to sleep.
Varela says Target's goal here is to deepen the brand's connection with people like Linda Hernandez.
Mom, but what else did we need, though?
Hernandez is a 29-year-old mother of two at the Target in Yakima, Washington.
I've been here every day for the past 2 weeks.
She even shows me a picture of her shopping cart posted on Instagram.
I think I picked up two of everything, and on the pencils and pens, I picked up three of everything.
Marketing researcher Isabel Valdez says Hernandez is in retailers' sweet spot.
Latino millennial is the segment to target. If you're not there, you're losing.
Why?
That's where the growth opportunity is. That's where the new family formations are, the new people buying cars.
Sin Traducción is Target's first campaign designed solely with Latino shoppers in mind. It uses Spanish songs that touch themes like childcare and family meals. Roberto Suchinski says that makes perfect sense. He says even young Latinos who prefer English...
Think of Spanish as a language of the heart.
Suchinski manages Hispanic marketing for the firm Catapult.
You have a very large company here that is not only telling Hispanics, hey, we got great stuff for you to do, but it's telling them it's great to be Hispanic.
Suchinski says a second language is like a second path into a consumer's mind. Will Target get there? Keep an eye out for the hashtag, Sin Traducción. In Yakima, Washington, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
And they're testing a new delivery system for Amazon merchandise, according to the Financial Times. People who own some Audi models in Germany will soon be able to order stuff on Amazon, and a courier leaves the package in their car's trunk. The couriers will get a one-time access code that pops the trunk for now just Munich, Germany, for now just Audi. Here's my suggested improvement. Why not just email Amazon your garage door code? What's the worst that could happen? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too.
Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.